Frisco, Dallas, Fort Worth. Live from the KATH 910 AM studios in Las Colinas and broadcasting across North Texas on the Guadalupe Radio Network, this is the Good News Show.
Good afternoon. It is the Good News Show. It's October 6th, Monday afternoon, and we are glad that you are with us for this live program we do once a week where we talk about cool stuff, good Catholic things going on here in North Texas, and there is certainly a lot. I mean, the fall season is just crazy around here with, in a good way, so many things going on. We have a lot to talk about, and let me tell you that it's kind of an interesting program today because I'm going to have two guests on, I hope. One of them I'm absolutely assured of because we already did the interview. In a few minutes, I'm going to play an interview I did this morning with Dr. David Anders. And Dr. Anders is coming in 2 weeks from Saturday on the 25th for our inaugural Fishers of Men dinner benefiting KCPP 1140 AM, our Fort Worth station, which I believe we're broadcasting on right now, in addition to, so it's confirmed, in addition to KTH 910 AM. And if you're listening, regardless if you're Dallas, Fort Worth, or wherever you are in the Metroplex, please plan to come to this event. Dr. Anders is going to give a great talk, How the Catholic Church Saved My Marriage. Bishop Olson is going to be receiving the Fishers of Men dinner. It's going to be at St. Patrick's Cathedral. So Julian and I did the interview with Dr. Anders. And by the way, hello, Cicel. How are you? I always kind of get you right into it. I was like, I don't know. I get so excited. I got so many things to talk about.
I know. I am doing well. It's good to be here, as always.
Okay. I'm kind of getting a little bit off script, but I did want to say, and you heard me do this. I do this 22-minute interview with Dr. Anders. And then as we finish, I said, Dr. Anders, can I ask you a question? And last Friday, I did a show on predestination and free will. And I said, do you mind, you know, just spending 2 minutes and just kind of, you know, clarifying a few things? I'll tell you, 5 minutes later, you know, he just gave me so much time, and he's so generous with his time. And it was just kind of like my own little personal, you know, call to communion show with David Anders. But anyways, we'll play that here in a few minutes. Got a few things we want to talk about before that. But second half of the show, as if Dr. David Anders wasn't enough intellectual stimulation for you, Father Robert Spitzer is scheduled to be a live guest. Now, he's scheduled, I confirmed, I think he's going to be on, but that's the plan, okay? We're going to have Father Robert Spitzer on because he's coming for an event the same day, but his is in the morning of Saturday, October 25th, and Dr. Anders is in the evening. So not only do we have both of them on this program, but North Texas is going to have both of them the same day. So they don't conflict with each other. You can see Father Spitzer in the morning at Prince of Peace Parish in Plano, and then, you know, go home, take a nap, have some food, and then go out to Fort Worth for the Dr. David Anders event in the evening. All right, so let's talk about this past weekend. We had three live remotes at three different festivals. We'll take them in order. The first one was, I was out at the Lebanese Food Festival Friday evening doing a live broadcast. And so thanks to Father Assad and Eric Rodriguez over there at the parish and Sandy Moses and Netta. And that's a great event. You went the next morning, didn't you?
I did. I took my young adult group from St. Philip the Apostle because Our Lady of Lebanon and St. Philip's have a close ties because we're both near each other. Mm-hmm. And so we took a group there and always enjoy it. Food is delightful. The entertainment. I don't know if you heard, Dave, I can't remember if you all talked about this in the broadcast or not, but they had a special guest on Saturday and one of the actresses from The Chosen.
Yeah.
So I was actually there when she was on the stage talking. So that was very cool. But they always do such a good job.
Do you remember she was the woman at the well?
Yes.
Do you remember
right.
that episode?
I think so. It's been a while since I watched The Chosen, so I'm not entirely certain if I remember it or not. But so that was kind of cool to hear some of her stories going on in the background as well. So it's kind of one of those really unique events that we have in our Catholic community here in North Texas.
Yeah, it really is extremely unique. And they always roll out the red carpet and gave us some food tickets, and I had a veggie platter that night, and it just was great. So I'm sure it was pretty busy when you were there. Was it pretty packed?
It was. You know, we went right when they opened up on Saturday, specifically so that we, you know, get first come, first serve on everything. Right. But it was getting quite busy as we were leaving.
Yeah. I think Saturday night gets very busy as well. All right, so thanks then. And then Saturday morning, I was at Autumn Fest over at St. Catherine of Siena Parish in Carrollton. And thanks to Shirley Meyer and Father Sue Shield, I was in his office. And of course, Sissel came over to help me with some of the technology. But every 10 minutes, we had a different guest for an hour and a half. And so that was a great broadcast. And I trust that festival went off very well. And then Sunday morning during the 10 o'clock hour, Sissel was out in Forney, Texas at St. Martin of Tours. And how did that go?
Oh, it was great fun. I always enjoy going out to St. Martin of Tours in Forney because there is such a rich history there. It was there 114th carnival, which is crazy. And I don't know, Dave, if you were listening to this particular part, but one of the organizers had that one of the parishioners had found a flyer from the 38th annual carnival, which was, I don't know, sometime back in the 40s or something like that. And they were advertising what they were raffling off. And it was just so entertaining to see they were raffling off a deep freezer that was $230. It's crazy. So that's super cool. But they do such a wonderful job out there. And I'm very grateful for always being invited out. And it's that community is really growing. They have built a new parish in the last few years that holds 500 people. And they say they're at capacity every single mass. So
I remember when Father James Yamauchi was a pastor. And I remember going out there. You and I did a broadcast together there. I don't know how many years ago this was. Maybe 10 years ago, 8 years ago or something. And it was back then. I don't know how the festival is now, but it was really cool in its simplicity. And, you know, that I say this all the time. Every carnival, every festival has its own character, its own personality. And it's good that they're all not the same. You know, St. Anne's in Capelle is really different from the Lebanese Food Festival or the Autumn Fest at St. Catherine of Siena. So God bless. But this is definitely fall festival season. It's very exciting. All right. Well, let's move on. I want to tell people about the Seine River cruise. I was going to ask you to pull up that spot, but I didn't ask you ahead of time. But don't worry about it.
Which spot are we talking about?
Oh, the one
about
that you and I did with Matthew.
I'll add it to our break.
Okay, yeah, good. This is I just love this spot where we had Matthew Desmoutiers from the Lafayette Orchestra.
Really quickly to jump in, I was not able to go to their most recent concert, but my sister did, the Lafayette Musicians.
Oh, is that right?
That was on Saturday.
Oh.
She went to it. I had gotten a ticket. She and I were going to buy tickets together. Our dog had a bit of a medical emergency last week, so it's a little chaotic, so I just sent her, and she had a really good time.
Oh, good.
So I just wanted to put that little plug out there that we always have Matthew on to talk about these concerts, and she really enjoyed it.
I hope they had a good crowd, because he came here from France, and just he's from St. Anne's of Capelle. He and his wife had a couple kids, and they just doing good music. And so he helped us with a spot that Sissel will play during the break. All right, speaking of France, the Seine River cruise is going to be April of next year. And this is not a, you know, spontaneous thing where, you know, you're listening right now and you're like, oh, I'm going to go online or maybe you will. I mean, it's going to be so great. I am planning on going. Sean Rice, our VP, Toya Hall, Debbie Giorgiani, Father Sam Medley is going to be the spiritual advisor. We're going to Paris and there's an optional extension to Lourdes, but Notre Dame and what else? Lisieux, where St. Therese is. I mean, they're just, you know, it's really going to be fun. And I pray that you'll consider going. And so I just want to leave it at that. The other thing that is really cool, if you know, we had our July 19th event, the 25th anniversary, and we had a little booth set up with a lot of GRN merch, like shirts and caps and all kinds of stuff, like screen cleaners, and we've got some of that around. And you know, we invite you to go. Do you know the website right off the top of your head? I can look it up because I know Sean's. Oh, here it is: grnonline.com/shop, grnonline.com/shop. And so if you want some commemorative gear that celebrates the 25th anniversary of the GRN, you know, shirts, caps, you know, all these kind of things, go to that. And it's a great way to, you know, to support the GRN as well. grnonline.com/shop. shop if you want to pick up some of that merch. All right. Anything about the cruise or the merch before we move on, Cecil?
I use my little screen cleaner all the time. I have one in my office, and I just cleaned my phone with it earlier.
Oh, cool.
It's very handy. Also, I feel like for a long time people have asked us, is there merchandise I want to be able to wear or just have something that represents the Guadalupe Radio Network, because it is a kind of a conversation starter with people that you meet. So.
Yeah, it certainly is. So please go to that website. And then, okay, I've got some giveaways that I want to offer you. Dave and Lauren Moore, you're probably familiar with them. Lauren, of course, had the Guillain-Barré syndrome autoimmune disease that really really debilitated her for most of this year. Well, thanks be to God, she is recovering, and they're going to have her first public performance since being hospitalized. A concert at the Meyerson Symphony Center Tuesday, November 4th. I interviewed them last week about this, and they're so kind to give us some tickets to give away. So if you would like to go this, the tickets start at $60. Okay, so this is, this is the Symphony Center. This is classy. It's called The More We Are, live at the Meyerson. Lauren Moore and Dave are just so talented. So if you would like to go, I have a pair of tickets that I can give away right now, but you have to either email or text me. You can email me DavePalmer@grnonline.com, or you can text me at 972-757-2990. Again, that's November 4th, Tuesday evening, 7:30 p.m. at the Meyerson Symphony Center. Okay, these are really great tickets. Another thing that I have to give away is Fullness of Truth tickets. Okay, they had their event at Round Rock last weekend, so that means the next big event is going to be right here in North Texas. Hail Immaculata, Mother Mary, and Heaven's Plan for Spiritual Warfare. Father Calloway is going to be there, Jeff Cavins, Monsignor Eugene Morris, Ingrid Meyer, Gabe Castillo, Dave and Lauren Moore, speaking of them, are going to be there as well. So if you would like to, I just got somebody that texted me for the tickets for the Moores. And so those tickets are given away. If you would like either a pair of tickets or a family pack for this event on, it's the first week of December, December 5th through 7th. And, So people are texting me about this. Same thing. If you want to go, I'm going to be the MC. I'm really looking forward to this event. It's going to be in Allen. Email me DavePalmer@grnonline.com, or else text me 972-757-2990. And I've said this before, North Texas, we should have the biggest event. San Antonio brings out 1,000, 1,500 people. Round Rock brings out a lot of people. North Texas, we should have 1,000 people at this event. Mm. I mean, we really should.
Easily.
So, but I have some giveaways for this. Otherwise, just go to the fullnessoftruth.org and get your tickets. All right, let's play the Dr. David Anders interview. And this is about our October 25th event, 2 weeks from this Saturday. He's coming to town, and we hope you'll be there at St. Patrick Cathedral in Fort Worth. So here's the interview that Julian and I did earlier this morning. All right, very happy to have on the line with me Dr. David Anders. He is going to be the keynote speaker at our event 2 weeks from this Saturday, October 25th. I'm going to get right to him in just a moment, but also in studio with me, Julian Placino, our new general manager of our Fort Worth stations, KCPP 1140 AM, and our little 101.5 FM in Cleburne as well. We don't want to forget that one. And so before going to Dr. Anders and talking about this event coming up 2 weeks from Saturday, I want to bring Julian in. So Julian, tell us about the particulars. What's going on the evening of October 25th?
Yes. So on Saturday, October the 25th, we are having our inaugural Fishers of Men dinner, where we will be honoring Bishop Olson for his excellence in evangelization. And of course, welcoming our keynote speaker, Dr. David Anders, who we will learn much more about here shortly. And it's going to be a terrific event. Again, that is October the 25th from 7 to 9 p.m. at St. Patrick's Cathedral Social Hall. You can find out more information about the event at grnonline.com/FOM.
And this is a fundraiser, and tickets are $150. You can also be a sponsor, and you can buy tables. There are some tables and tickets remaining. But again, this is not a huge venue, 250 tickets. So please go on and get it. We're down to our last under 3 weeks before this event. grnonline.com. You'll see a tab for events, Fishers of Men, Fort Worth. And again, as Julian mentioned, Bishop Olson's going to be honored with the Fishers of Men Award and our keynote speaker, Dr. David Anders. He's the host of Call to Communion, heard every weekday here at 1 o'clock Central Time. One of the most popular shows that we have, and so I'm very honored to have Dr. Anders on the line with me. Dr. Anders, I'm guessing, you know, I don't know, 10, 15 years ago, the thought of you hosting a Catholic radio program across EWTN would have never entered your mind, huh?
Well, 10 years ago, it entered my mind because the show that we're doing is coming up at 11 years old.
Okay. So more than crossed your mind, yeah. But how about 20 years ago? Then it would have been a surprise.
I'd say 20 years ago, yeah, it was the last thing I had in mind. I absolutely had no concept that I would be in Catholic media. And in fact, if you went back, say, 25 years, I had no idea I would even be a Catholic. And so life has taken me in a direction, Providence has taken me in a direction I never could have anticipated. And of course, it's been a tremendous privilege to work all these years in Catholic radio. And I could never have anticipated the blessings and the benefits that would accrue. But I had absolutely no idea I'd be doing this.
Whenever I talk to people about your show, they'll say, first of all, that guy is just brilliant. He seems to know everything about the Catholic faith. And you also present it in a very easy to understand way. In fact, I was just talking to Julian a moment ago, and he says, you know, you take very complex topics and you're able to distill it and describe it in a way that's very approachable. What's the preparation? Do you still study all the time? How did you get all this knowledge in your head to be able to answer very complex questions in a very easy way?
So in truth, I grew up in a family that valued intellectual study. It valued a rational approach to the Christian faith. I had a father and a brother who were very dialectical in their reasoning, and I was the younger brother. And so as a part of my personality, I had this aspiration as a young kid to be able to, as it were, kind of hold my own with the older male members of my family who like to talk this way about issues, not just religion, but these kinds of issues. And then later on, when I kind of got bit by the theology bug, some people are described as just having a high need to know, like emotionally, they have a high need for cognition and a high need for understanding. And I'm one of those people where I just can't jump into something and engage if I don't understand how it functions. And it became kind of an obsession with me to make sense of my Christian faith to myself. And of course that eventually led me to become Catholic, because I began to dig into the roots of my Christianity. I realized that being Catholic was the only way I could be a rationally fulfilled, intellectually fulfilled Christian. So I became a Catholic. But you know, the way this would often emerge, and this, again, I had no idea I'd be in radio. I didn't do this in preparation for some kind of career. It's just how my mind functions. I would study, and then I would pose difficulties to myself about the faith, and then I would sort of imagine a dialogue between myself and a hypothetical interlocutor, where someone would pose a challenge, and then I would try to articulate a solution, and work out what I thought would be a persuasive answer to me if I were faced with that situation. And so I kind of built up my understanding of the Christian faith in this dialogical question answer format, as just a method of understanding. And it was only later that I discovered, actually, that's exactly how Catholic scholasticism works. I mean, that was the method that St. Thomas used, and so many others. And of course, I had never read scholastic theology. I didn't know that's how the thing worked. But I was actually thinking in a very Catholic way, and turned out to be, kind of an ideal preparation for doing a radio show where I field objections to the Catholic faith. I mean, that's the theme of the show, is what's stopping you from becoming Catholic. But that passion to understand drove me through undergraduate studies in theology, a master of divinity, well, not master of divinity, master of arts from a divinity school, and then ultimately a PhD in religious studies, really all fueled by this deep, deep desire I had to understand and assimilate the Catholic, Christian faith first, and then the Catholic faith, and to find a way to make it livable to myself and to those that I cared about.
Yeah, and you mentioned the tagline about what's stopping you from becoming Catholic. And after having done this now for 11 years, as you mentioned, do you see a trend among the people calling in? Because, I love it, because the very nature of it would seem to be antagonistic. You're asking people to call in and argue with you. It's almost like a Charlie Kirk approach, where, you know, prove me wrong or that kind of thing. But do you see a trend among, like, what is stopping people from becoming Catholic? Well, what are the main themes and the main objections that people have?
Yeah, sure. I would jump in and say one qualification. I would distance myself from Charlie Kirk's approach in that I'm not trying to peddle a political ideology, and I'm not even trying to proselytize individuals. I'm trying to clear away objections and to help people come to a better understanding of the Catholic faith with the conviction that if people become Catholic or not, that's up to the Holy Spirit. It's not up to me. I can't make someone become Catholic through argument. I don't want to manipulate them. I want to be truthful in my depiction of Catholic faith and then let the Holy Spirit, you know, move people as he will to bring them in his time to the Catholic faith. But in terms of your question, what are the big obstacles that people have? I'll tell you one that's really probably in my show and a lot of Catholic radio the most pervasive. And it's actually a call that we get from Catholics about their non-Catholic relatives. And it's Catholics of, you know, middle age or older Catholics who are calling because they're distressed that their children and their younger Catholic relatives have left the church. And so there's just a ton of concern about the up-and-coming youth, the young generation, that may have been raised in the Catholic faith and have now become disaffected. And that is one of the hardest groups to evangelize, those that think they already know everything that the Catholic Church has to offer and they're not inclined to listen again. That's a really, really big segment of concern in Catholic radio. In terms of those who are inquiring into the Catholic faith, who don't have that much knowledge about it and may function under a kind of a stereotypical objection, the sort of garden variety Protestant polemics that have been around for 500 years, like, well, why do Catholics worship Mary? And why do you believe in purgatory if it's not in the Bible? And why do you call priests father? And you know, do you really think you have to earn your salvation? I mean, these sort of stock in trade Protestant objections to Catholicism, they're perennial, they never go away. And so day in and day out, you know, this is kind of the daily grind of a radio apologist is to continually engage those kinds of questions over and over and over and over and over again. You know, we do get a fair number of questions that I would say emerge from sort of the secular objection to the Catholic faith, which would be, you know, typically viewing the Catholic faith as a source of injustice and oppression in the world, whether it's because of the legacy of the Crusades or because of the Inquisition, or, you know, in a modern context, whether often it's the church's sexual ethic is perceived as somehow disadvantaging sexual minorities. I mean, these sort of perennial cultural issues do continually emerge on the show. And then, you know, then there's another category of people, I think, who just fail to understand the internal logic of the Catholic faith, how the sacraments, for example, are not empty rituals devoid of meaning, but are transformative encounters with God's grace. And so, you know, continually having to put the kerygma, the basic message of Christ's ministry and teaching and death and resurrection and ascension, his founding of the church and sacramental mysteries, as a way of transformation and life and empowerment and flourishing, and putting that message forward continually in a positive way, again, is just the daily work of a Catholic evangelist to preach the gospel to the whole world and trust that the Holy Spirit will bring those that he will call.
And one of the topics, of course, that's very much at the forefront of culture right now is the idea of marriage. And you have actually selected as your keynote topic to be how the Catholic Church saved my marriage. So, Dr. Anders, how did you decide on this topic for our inaugural Fishers of Men event?
Sure, thanks. Well, actually, you guys asked me to talk about that. But maybe a more relevant question is, why is that the title of my book? In 2018, I wrote a book by the same title, How the Catholic Church Saved My Marriage. And you know, E.W. Chin had approached me some years ago about writing a book, and I thought, well, that's no problem. And I initially conceived of it, and I imagine the network also conceived of it as probably kind of garden variety apologetics. And as I started to begin that work, I was discussing it with my wife one day, and she said, no, you need to write the story of our marriage. And as soon as she said it, I said, she's absolutely right. And the reason why is that the Catholic Church Saved My Marriage describes, it's not just a book about marriage. It really is a discussion of how I became Catholic, the objections that I had, the studies that I did, the struggles that I had, and my journey into the Catholic faith, but with an eye to how those things had a real impact on a concrete issue in my life, namely the struggles that I had in my marriage. And my wife and I went through a deeply troubled period early on. First 10 years was not easy at all. And I like to point out that, you know, these are not simply academic questions of abstract theology. They have meaningful impact on the way you live your life and how you experience your most intimate relationships, like that of marriage. And so if the Catholic faith can't touch you in your marriage, well, it's not really not good for much, right? Not in terms of your practical living. If it can't affect you with the most intimate relationships, then, you know, why would you bother? And so the point of the book and the point of the story is to show that, you know, questions about the saints or about sexuality or about the sacraments or about salvation, they're not just abstract questions. They really do impact meaningful relationships in your life, and none more meaningful than marriage. And it did in my case, and it quite literally did save my marriage. My becoming Catholic did. So I tell that story in the book, and I've been asked to share it with the audience at the dinner. And you know, one rendition that I was asked to speak of is how Catholic radio saved my marriage. And I do want to come back around to that question, because Catholic radio specifically was not the only thing that made me Catholic. There were, you know, 10 years of theological study behind it. But as I'll tell in my keynote, Catholic radio was a key turning point in my life as a listener when I discovered Catholic radio, because it was the vehicle that first put me in touch with living, breathing Catholics. Up to that point, all the Catholics that I had known were dead guys, right? There were books that I had read from antiquity in the Middle Ages and early modernity, but I didn't really know any Catholics. And Catholic radio put me in contact with living, breathing converts to the Catholic Church, people who understood where I was coming from, who were relatable. And I began to have dialogues with individuals, and Catholic radio created that medium for me. And so, you know, I didn't get involved in Catholic radio first to be a broadcaster. I got involved to talk to people about Catholicism and explore the possibility of becoming Catholic. And it had that effect on me. It was a turning point in my engagement of the church. And you know, I can't say that would I have become Catholic without it. I don't know. Yeah, I don't really answer that question. But I can tell you that my particular journey, Catholic radio, was a key element in my conversion to the Catholic faith, and therefore in the salvation of my marriage.
Amen. Dr. David Anders joining us here on the Good News Show. We actually recorded this earlier today because, well, he's got a show at 1 o'clock that he's preparing for during this hour. St. Patrick's Cathedral Social Hall will be the location of the event. It's the first ever KCPP AM 1140 AM Fishers of Men Benefit Dinner. We have Fishers of Men events all across the Guadalupe Radio Network. In fact, Dr. Anders has spoken to these at these before in other markets, but this is the first one in Fort Worth, and it's going to be 2 weeks from this Saturday, the 25th of October, and it's, like I said, at St. Patrick's Cathedral Social Hall, which is a beautiful hall. 250 people, that's all that's going to be there. So it's going to be a nice, intimate event. Julian's going to be the MC. Bishop Olson, the Bishop of Fort Worth, is going to be honored. Father James Flynn is going to be there. Father Wallace, the parochial vicar. And so it's going to be a really, really great event, and we do invite you to come on out and join us. Just a few more minutes with Dr. Anders. Dr. Anders, am I right that you have a connection to North Texas? Did one of your kids go to UD, or you
yeah.
Have, yeah, okay, tell us about that connection.
Yeah. So actually, I had only been to Texas once in my life before, I think, 2018, and I was invited to participate in a University of Dallas ministry event, and there's a conference center right near the university, and there were a lot of national speakers that were there, and I was invited to be one of them, and I told my son, I said, look, I'm going to go out to Dallas. I really think you ought to come along with me. This would be an opportunity for you to visit UD, which he expressed an interest in. He said, great. So I did my talk, and then we went and visited the campus and saw some classes. And then we left. I said, what do you think? He said, I'm going to come here. And I said, well, that's very good. I'm glad you're interested in applying. But, you know, generally, it's a good idea to cultivate multiple options. You know, you should apply to a number of schools because you don't know where you'll get in. He goes, no, I'm coming here. And I couldn't convince him to apply anyplace else. So he had exactly one college application, University of Dallas. And, of course, I was very happy about that. I mean, I like Dallas, but that's where he went. And he was attracted to the Catholic identity, to the Great Books curriculum, to the campus culture, to the presence of religious on the campus. You know, he'd been to schools that have been taught and governed by religious Dominicans and Benedictines in his life. And the proximity to the Cistercian monastery, all those things were attractive to him. And he graduated last May, summa cum laude. He was a Phi Beta Kappa, actually nominated for valedictorian, didn't win, but he was nominated for valedictorian, had a fantastic experience, great grades, and got himself a sweet deal scholarship going to law school. So he had a great experience at the University of Dallas. So did his fiance, who also is in graduate school with a a really nice package and doing a PhD in chemistry. So the two of them are, you know, happy as clams, and they had a wonderful experience. So that you know, kind of solidified our family's connection to Dallas. And then, interestingly, the speaking invitations began to emerge. And so I've actually been out to Dallas and Fort Worth several times since then to speak in parishes and other events. And so I've gotten to know the city more and more. And, of course, with my other public speaking, Dallas is kind of it's an airport hub, and so I find myself flying through there all the time too. So now I feel like I know Dallas very, very well. I didn't know it at all before 2018, and now I've been out there any number of times.
Yeah, and we're so excited that you are coming out. And it's a very different, I mean, not that I have to tell you this, but it's a very different way of communicating when you're not having somebody call in and ask you a question. You're standing in front of, in this case, you know, hundreds of people and just speaking. You're not answering. Yeah, there might be a Q&A, section of it, but it's a whole different form of communicating the message, isn't it?
Well, I love to come out and speak specifically for Catholic affiliated radio stations that host the program called Communion, because you know when we're producing the show in Irondale, Alabama, you don't see the audience.
Yeah.
And you hear some callers, but you don't have a real vivid sense of who's actually listening, who's engaged. And when we get to go travel around and speak to crowds of people, you understand, oh, there are people who actually listen to Catholic radio. This is very nice. You know, it's good to know people in there. And I'll tell you an interesting thing. I do a lot of public speaking, and I have noticed that more than once that I will write a talk to give to a community, and I'll fly out maybe a day early and meet the organizers and maybe have dinner with some people from the community, get a sense for who they are, go back to my hotel room and completely rewrite my talk. The first and most important thing that you need to do in public speaking is to know your audience. And so I really love the opportunity to get in there and to meet people who are active patrons and supporters and listeners to Catholic Radio and get to know something about their lives. It helps me do a better job at what I do.
Yeah, okay, a lot of room for the Holy Spirit to inspire you and change and call audibles, I guess. You're from Alabama, I got to use a football analogy there, right?
Yeah.
Dr. Anders, thanks so much. I really appreciate the time that you're spending with us today, and we're so excited to greet you in a couple of weeks and have you be our inaugural, you know, speaker. There's never going to be another inaugural Fishers of Men event, and I just want to thank Dr. Anders and turn it over now to Julian again to just kind of give some of the details. And I just want to say before Julian jumps in that, you know, we've had a lot of Summer Speaker Series events in Dallas, and those are at the Flight Museum generally. They're a lot more casual. This is a different kind of event. It's going to be a little bit more dressy, a little bit more expensive. It's a fundraiser. It's smaller, and it's going to be a really nice meal, and you know, and you're going to be wined and dined. It's going to be a beautiful event, and of course, you get to hear Dr. Anders. So having said that, I'm going to turn it over to you, Julian, and go ahead and give some of the details of how people can get tickets.
Yeah, absolutely. So first off, you can go to the website at grnonline.com/FOM and click on the Fort Worth Market. So again, this is taking place on Saturday, October the 25th from 7 p.m. to 9 p.m. at St. Patrick's Cathedral Social Hall. As of right now, we're about halfway sold through the event, but a lot of folks like to wait until the second or third week before the event. So please get your tickets now. It's going to be a tremendous event. Of course, Dr. David Anders will be there honoring Bishop Olson. And it's going to be a great way to relaunch the Fort Worth Market. There's so much growth and opportunity to save souls and spread the gospel through radio and digital media, and we would love you to be part of the event.
All right, very well said. Thank you, Julian, and again, thank you, Dr. Anders, and we are going to go to a break now, and when we come back, Dr. Robert Spitzer, we got a really, this is a power-packed show. He's actually coming the morning of the 25th. This is really interesting. That day is going to be a really special day. It's a breakfast event. If you want to imagine seeing Father Robert Spitzer in the morning and then Dr. David Anders in the evening. I mean, wow, what a day that's going to be. So we're going to take a break. This is the Good News Show. And again, Dr. Anders, thank you very much. We look forward to seeing you here in a couple of weeks.
Thank you very much. Thank you kindly. Can't wait.
All right. Time for a break, and we'll be back with more of the Good News Show right after this. Bonjour, ça va?
Oui, oui, croissant.
Sisso, I still think my French accent's better.
No way.
Hello there. Do you think I can give it a try?
Oh, sure. help celebrate 30 years of La Promesa Foundation with a special pilgrimage. From April 22nd to the 30th, you can join Father Sam Medley, Debbie Giorgiani, Sean Rice, and Dave Palmer on a Seine River cruise. Stops include Rouen, Normandy beaches, Lisieux, and of course Paris. Visit grnonline.com to learn more.
I mean, it's all right.
Still think mine's better.
Attention, Medicare beneficiaries. Annual enrollment is here. Now is the chance to review your Medicare plan and make sure you're getting the coverage and benefits you need for 2026. My name is Michelle Vina, a sponsor of this station and owner of Morningstar 65, which is dedicated to helping Catholics with their Medicare plans. My husband Kevin and I are active members of St. Mary the Virgin Parish in Arlington. For more information about Morningstar 65 and the services available, you can visit morningstar65.com. That's morningstar65.com.
Celebrate 25 years of Catholic radio with the Guadalupe Radio Network. Show your love for GRN with exclusive 25th anniversary merchandise, including t-shirts, tumblers, hats, tote bags, and more. Perfect for you or as a gift for a fellow GRN listener. Every purchase you make helps us keep spreading the good news on the airwaves. Visit grnonline.com/shop today and be part of the celebration. That's grnonline.com/shop.
At Mount St. Michael Catholic School, a sponsor of the GRN, a child's formation is strengthened through participation in the sacraments in a Christ-focused community and through the discovery of truth in academic studies. Hello, my name is Melissa Castro, principal at Mount St. Michael Catholic School. MSM offers students daily Mass, a preschool Montessori, and a first through eighth grade classical program. Visit our website, msmcatholic.org, for more information.
St. Joseph is the patron saint of home and family. At My Mutual Mortgage of Grapevine, we support the Guadalupe Radio Network's mission of honoring and supporting home and family as longtime sponsors of KATH 910 AM. We're Bob and Norma Duane, owners of My Mutual Mortgage of Grapevine. We'd be honored to speak with you about all your mortgage needs. We can be reached at 817-527-3166. That's 817-527-3166. We're an equal housing lender, NMLS 265303.
All right, welcome back to the Good News Show. It's October 6th, and boy, we have talked about a lot on the program today. Great to hear from Dr. David Anders. Again, the event, Fishers of Men, is October 25th at St. Patrick's Hall in Fort Worth. And recently I was approached about a fact that Father Robert Spitzer is coming to town, and they said, can you promote it? And they said, it's October 25th. And I said, well, I don't know. We have a conflict because we have our event. And they said, no, it's a morning event. So I said, yeah, sure. And so Father Robert Spitzer is coming in the morning of Saturday, October 25th. And this is a Healing the Culture event. It's Brunch for Life with Father Robert Spitzer. You might remember, I think it was 2019. He was our Summer Speaker Series event speaker. And that was a really, really popular and well-received event. And so we have Father Spitzer on the phone with us, and I'll introduce him formally in just a moment. But a little more information about this event. If you go to healingtheculture.org, you'll find out about this event. It's going to be at Prince of Peace Catholic Church in Plano on Saturday, October 25th. The breakfast at 9 a.m. and the talk begins at 10 a.m. I believe this is a free event. All right, so not only get breakfast, but also Father Spitzer's talk over at Prince of Peace. Healing the Culture invites you to join Camille Pauly and Father Robert Spitzer to learn about a mission that is converting hearts, saving preborn lives, and reaching millions of pro-life people with the truth. Father Robert Spitzer is co-founder of Healing the Culture, the chairman of the board. He is the author of a philosophical work from which the organization takes its name and its mission. He's published two best-selling books on pro-life ethics and has been a world-recognized defender of the sanctity of life for over 30 years. And the bio goes on and on, but I want to make sure I have some time to actually speak to Father Spitzer. So we welcome him to the program. Father Spitzer, how are you? Thanks for joining me today.
Oh, no, great to be with you again, Dave. I really appreciate the opportunity.
Yeah, a lot of people know you from your work with the Magis Center. They may not be as aware of Healing the Culture. Is there a direct connection between these, or are they independent organizations?
Well, they're independent organizations, but, you know, of course, our missions are loosely connected in the sense of trying to bring a real, you know, rigor, intellectual rigor to, you know, both the pro-life movement and to belief in God and so forth. So, you know, the Magis Center has a more general mission. It would be, you know, to help young people especially, but also everybody to know the reasons, the evidence for God and Jesus, life after death, the soul, etc. And we're just putting out a Majus AI app in a couple of days. It'll have, you know, answer tens and tens of thousands of questions. You know, it's on Google Play Store or Apple Store. But on Wednesday, you know, just go to, you know, to your favorite app store. It's free of charge. Just download free of charge Majus AI app, you know, Majus AI, and you can get it, and you can even get it on the website. So that's a general mission, healing the culture. It's a very focused mission, of course, and trying to get the sacredness of life, you know, back into the public square, but also to get a good, rigorous educational curriculum into the schools. That's starting actually in grade school, going all the way through high school, trying to get that education, you know, present, to, you know, based on what we call 10 universal principles. And those universal principles are accepted by everyone, right? They're principles about logic, principles about ethics, and principles about justice and rights. And you put those principles together, you can make an exceedingly good case for the pro-life movement, an excellent philosophical basis. And, you know, Camille Pauly, who you just mentioned earlier on, her, you know, obviously her mission is to change the hearts of these students. And so you can actually see that, you know, have over 50% of the class at the beginning of the class that says, I'm open to pro-abortion. You know, and then by the end of the class, you know, giving these principles to the students, you can see right away, you know, that they have changed their minds. And so of that, you know, that 50%, Camille can basically reduce it down to 17% are pro-abortion. So you can see the huge changeover of all of those hearts. You know, which is, you know, almost like a 35% transition, 33% transition to pro-life, you know, just right there. And so it's enormously effective. And, of course, that combines up very well with the pro-life students, and it goes forward. But principles are the ideal, you know, just to have a case that they can defend in public, or they can, you know, appeal to a higher viewpoint, and, you know, the students are not, you know, left with, you know, sort of being, you know, in the doghouse, because, you know, people are just screaming loud at them, you know, that you're not in the mainstream of culture. But when you can prove that, you know, every single ethical and legal and justice and logical principle upon which we stand literally points to pro-life as the only consistent outcome that makes any sense, boy, they'll change their minds. Because now, you know, they don't feel like, you know, they think there's a good reason to be, you know, out of the mainstream, right? They you know, to literally become countercultural. And so I think that's our mission. And we start, as I said, you know, Camille and I, we started all the way in the first grade, and we have little ways of building on that. And finally, of course, when you get to the more abstract curriculum in the you know, in principles in the high school, by the time, you know, a person has heard that, it becomes almost second nature to them. That's our hope.
Well, thanks for sharing all that information, Father Spitzer. I couldn't help but think about the news of the last month or so with the assassination of Charlie Kirk. And ever since mm-hmm. then, even before, people talk about, you know, the work that he was doing with young people, and that there is, mm-hmm. many people have described almost a transformation where a lot of younger people are taking a deeper look at these issues, whether it be through Charlie Kirk's approach or your approach. Do you see this kind of maybe a change in the landscape of the way young people are approaching these issues?
Well, it's a great question, and I do think what you know, healing the culture is doing is very similar to Charlie Kirk. What, of course, Charlie would be arguing the case himself from good logical and ethical and you know, justice principles, right? Whereas what we do is not only try to argue it ourselves, but we really want to teach the kids how to, you know, those what those principles are and how to argue that in the class. So as I said, they don't feel like, you know, they're just being countercultural for nothing, you know, but that they have a really good foundational case that will stand any test of logical rigor or rights rigor or ethical rigor. And that's at the end of the day, that's what gives them the confidence that they need. So we do use the Charlie Kirk approach, but we're basically teaching, you know, middle school and high school kids how to do that approach, and certainly college kids, because you know, we do work with Students for Life and other organizations to bring these same principles into the collegiate level. So that's the whole mission, is to get it out there and get you know, people taught, so that again, you know, the more they have mastery over this, the more they know why. What we used to call in school, right, the propter quid, you know, the reason for the position. The more they understand that, the stronger we're going to become as a nation, and we'll have a sense of why, we ought to be pro-life, and how the inalienable right to life hinges on our ability to be faithful to that right and to defend it in public. We don't want, I mean, the founding fathers of the Constitution never intended for a single second that the inalienable rights of life and liberty and the pursuit of happiness be defined by the state.
Yeah.
They, you know, the reason they put the three inalienable rights into the Declaration of Independence but not in the Constitution was because in the Declaration of Independence doesn't say we the people of the United States declare this and that. That's the Constitution. It says we hold these truths to be self-evident, that every single person has been, you know, endowed with their creator with the inalienable rights of life, liberty, and the pursuit of that. So that it belongs to the person by their very nature. And since no state ever declared it into existence, no state can ever declare it out of existence. Inalienable rights are higher than the actual positive laws. The positive laws meant to protect inalienable rights that have the highest plane of justice that you can get. And so our founding fathers knew that very well. And the only mention of inalienable rights you get in the Constitution, right, in the 14th Amendment, no state shall violate, you know, the inalienable rights of life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. But it never, ever declares inalienable rights into existence. They were way too smart to do that. And so,
So true. Anyway. Thank you. Father Robert Spitzer is coming to town. Healing the Culture is presenting Brunch for Life with Father Robert Spitzer. It's going to be the morning of Saturday, October 25th. It's 2 weeks from this coming Saturday. It's going to be at Prince of Peace Catholic Church in Plano. Father Michael Forge, of course, the pastor over there. Light breakfast at 9 a.m. The talk begins at 10 a.m. And this is a free event. I'll ask Father in a moment, how can they possibly do this and make it free and still serve breakfast? But before that, Father, I just have a question that is always on my mind. You talk about these inalienable rights that are self-evident. You talk about the 10 universal principles, and it seems like we're talking about natural law, things that are ingrained in us that we don't really have to be taught. And you would think in a perfect world, I mean, natural law is natural law, and we just all kind of believe it because it's ingrained in us, but that's not always the case. So how is it that a culture could turn against something that is inalienable, self-evident, and natural on such a large scale? It almost seems I don't know. How does that happen?
Well, in a nutshell, propaganda. I mean, at the end of the day, I think we all know that if the right to life falls, all ethics and all rights, you know, within a culture, within a state, are going to fall along with it. So we should have that ingrained. It should be obvious to us, right? The one right upon which all other rights are grounded is the right to life. Because if you're dead, all your other rights are truly a moot question. Now, we ought to know this, and we ought to know that no state has to declare that you have a right to live, right? I mean, that's justice right to its core, right? That every single human being has a right to live and to live according to his self-governance and to be able to pursue happiness for himself and his family into the future, right? Unless he commits a crime that deprives others of their inalienable rights. Now, that's just been, you know, as Locke said, the only limit to inalienable rights is, you know, you can't violate the inalienable rights of others. So my right to swing my fist ends where your face begins. So, you know, it's really simple. But aside from that, we ought to know this. You're absolutely right. But now we've got these propaganda artists, right? Social media, traditional media, you know, even in our you know, public schools, you know, who are proclaiming, you know, the absolute need to have abortion or something of that nature, or silly things like abortion is an inalienable right. You know, an inalienable right means this is something which every human being must have in order to act and be human. Now, do you have to have life in order to act and be human? Of course you have to have life. So life is an inalienable right. Now, do you need to have an abortion in order to act and be human? Obviously, that's the most ridiculous thing in the world. And so we can say that abortion can never be an inalienable right. And anybody who makes the ridiculous statement that abortion is an inalienable right doesn't know what an inalienable right is. It's pure and simple. So, I mean, we need to educate our kids now that because the culture makes these absurd propositions, has seeming experts that proclaim them to be true, and then by the time you're done, making this proclamation, a young person feels odd, feels out of the mainstream, feels like he's sort of an odd duck, just overly prim and proper or whatever, you know, the way they characterize the poor kid. And he feels alone out there, separating himself off and with an overactive moral compass. But he's the one in the right. Yeah. And that's, of course. So you got to reteach them all these principles. You absolutely do, because if you don't, if they don't see the logic, if they don't see why, you know, Jefferson held this and Hugo Grotius and the great Jesuit Francisco Suarez held this, they don't see that. It's literally problematic. They're likely to just, you know, cede the position over to the opposition. Yes. And that's what's been happening. It's been like a big propaganda steamroller. It's been going down through the culture. The only way to get the kids back is go right back to principles again. As all of our founding fathers said, when in doubt, go back to principles and logic. And let's get to those founding. So we start with those 10 universal principles, 3 logical principles, 3 principles concerning ethics, 4 principles concerning justice and rights. And we just go through those, you know, and get them established. Everybody accepts it in the culture. We all accept these principles from start to finish, the principle of justice, the principle of inalienable rights, the principle of hierarchy of rights, right? Life precedes liberty. Liberty precedes the pursuit of happiness, and pursuit of happiness precedes property. So, each one dependent upon the other, a life being the most foundational, etc. So you go through these things, and of course everybody agrees, yes, this is in our Constitution, but it's above all in our Declaration of Independence, where we declared it. And by the way, if we don't have inalienable rights, then there our entire proposition of separating ourselves from Great Britain on the basis of those inalienable rights was a complete fraud. Mm. And of course, then it would delegitimate everything that our founding fathers did to start the country. So we better get back to, those rights, better get back to ethical principles. I mean, who's going to disagree with the principle of non-maleficence, right? Do no unnecessary harm. Yeah. And if a harm is unavoidable, minimize it. Who's going to disagree with this, right? It's the most basic ethical principle we have. It's called the silver rule, right? All we're saying is we shouldn't do any unnecessary harm to others. And by the way, it's real self-evident, because if you know somebody who says, gee, I really need to do unnecessary harms to people in order to feel fulfilled in my life, hey, you know, run, Bambi, run. That guy's not going to be your friend for long. So the point is, it's clear, you know, these things are self-evident. You know, Jefferson, Franklin, all of our founding fathers, right on the marker. They understood well what, you know, the proposition is that faces our culture. Either we stand up with integrity and strength and courage, and you know, before the principles upon which our country was based. And if you do that, you're going to be pro-life. You're going to be inevitably pro-life. The case inexorably leads to that conclusion.
Yes.
That's what we want our kids to know. We want them to see it, and that they have to have the courage to talk about it, and to change the culture, not by screaming louder at people, not by accusing people of, you know, maybe even justly accuse them of the terrible things they're doing. We need to convince them with logic and principles. Go back to Thomas Jefferson. Go back to Aristotle. Right? These are this is the way to get progress. You know, and, you know what? It's a basic school of rhetoric deal. So anyway. I mean, I know I got going here, but I think that's what Healing the Culture tries to do, and that's why we're trying to put this out for people to go to.
Yeah, it is a free event, but you need to register, healingtheculture.org, healingtheculture.org. Father Robert Spitzer will be the speaker. And again, light breakfast at 9 a.m. The talk begins at 10, Prince of Peace Catholic Church in Plano, healingtheculture.org. And Father, we just do have a couple of minutes remaining in the interview, but tell us about this. It's a free event, and people come. What will be, if you give us a little highlight of what you'll be talking about, and what's kind of the intent and purpose of bringing these people together for this event?
Well, two things, you know, support on two levels, you know, if they can. But the first one is, you know, of course, you know, we want people to sort of look at this education and say, gee, you know, I'd love to have it in my school. If I'm homeschooling, I'd like to integrate this into my homeschooling, because this is the kind of thing that's going to allow the pro-life position to win out over the long run, right? So we want people to become aware of this kind of education that's out there. If they belong to a school, to make a suggestion, you know, that, hey, you know, I just heard about this really excellent way of, you know, educating people for pro-life. You know, you might want to consider, you know, this program from Healing the Culture, or you might want to integrate it into your own homeschooling. It's not like it's going to take a huge amount of time. It takes, you know, we have modules to teach this stuff and to try and integrate it into, you know, various grades. And we'll be explaining that during the talk. So that's one thing we'd sure like to do. Of course, we always, you know, want people to be praying for us. And we want people to be aware of, you know, this kind of logical approach, right, to and principled approach to getting to the pro-life position, and that includes not just the abortion position, but you know, a pro-life position with respect to assisted suicide. In other words, we're against that, and why we're against it, in vitro fertilization, etc. And then finally, of course, you know, if people have resources and they want to make a donation, we'd certainly enjoy the support for that as well. And so, you know, that's what our intention is, get information out there. You know, we have a lot of people, you know, in the Northwest area and in the Western area that really are familiar with what we're doing. Just trying to make a, you know, a breakthrough into now Texas, huge area. The population has many of the principles already, you know, in Texas. I don't have to tell you, you're culturally in Texas, in that state, you're in a great position, because you already understand, you know, the Charlie Kirk message. You understand our message in Healing the Culture and the principles, you know, upon which our country's based. So, I mean, given that, you know, just to be able to synthesize this, put it in place, give people an awareness, and get things going in Texas as we have it going in other parts of the country. That's our real intention, you know, in a generic way. And of course, if people know some schools, they know maybe some homeschooling networks that might want to, you know, use this, great too. And, you know, if people want to make a donation or help us out, or, maybe point to somebody who can help us, we'd love that too. And so that's basically the intention.
All right. Super. Well said. Father Robert Spitzer, thanks so much. You've given so much great information in a short amount of time. I do invite everybody the morning of Saturday the 25th, go see Father Robert Spitzer at Prince of Peace Catholic Church in Plano. It's light breakfast at 9. His talk will begin at 10 o'clock. It is a free event, but you do need to register, healingtheculture.org, and then go home, take a nap, have some breakfast, and then come out to Dr. David Anders. Boy, I tell you, this is going to be a powerful day in